Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, this is God's Word. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." And the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You and I, in this community, have some rules to follow regarding alcohol, regarding tobacco, regarding things that we think you'll have a much better life if you don't mess yourself up with a bunch of bad stuff. We even want you to wash your hands before you eat. But this hand washing that is being referred to here was not just getting your hands clean. It was a ceremony. It was a religious ceremony, but it was not one that was prescribed by God. It was one that the people, the religious leaders, had come up with. And if you learned the rules, you were in good standing. Okay, that's very good, very good. If you're walking through a field on a Sabbath day, you don't want to be guilty of work. So you don't even pick any grains, any heads from the grain, and go like this in order to get a little snack. But Jesus' disciples did that, and these guys had confronted him about that. Hey, they're working. Jesus didn't give in to that nonsense. And here he doesn't give in to this nonsense. There's a group that comes to him. This is a group that is looking for something to criticize. Okay? And that is what we see over and over when the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, even the Sadducees, confronted Jesus. They had cooked up something that they could criticize. If you're looking for something to criticize, if you're looking for something to complain about, you can always come up with something, even if it's bizarre and stupid. But these folks came to Jesus not with some deep spiritual concern. They were just frustrated because Jesus is doing miracles, crowds are following him, and he's not following their rules. And so they come and they say, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. They don't do the ceremony." Jesus said, "I'm sorry, these are country boys. They don't know the rules." No, that's not what he says. He says, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" And he cites an example that had to cut. Because you see, the Jewish leadership had come up with the idea that while God says you're supposed to honor your father and mother and you're supposed to love your family and take care of them, if you will take whatever would have been used to take care of your family, if you'll take that instead and give it to the temple, say, "I've decided to give this to God." Then the folks who ran the temple said, "That's okay, you don't have to take care of your family." Okay, because we get the money. Jesus had already said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve God and money. And what was very, very evident was that those who were running the temple, they served money. Mammon was their God. Power was their God. And so, Jesus asked them, "Why do you set aside the command of God in order to do what you want with your traditions?"
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And then he said, just that question cut. But then he says this: "You nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Students and staff, Ware's Valley Ranch. We tell everybody to take off their shoes when they come in the house, because that's easier than saying, "Everybody, be sure to check your shoes for dirt and mud and manure before you come into the house." Because some people won't remember to do that. And if only 1 in 12 people tracks manure into the house. Not good. Okay? I mean, if everybody else's shoes are good, yep, okay, I'm clean. But one person doesn't notice, didn't remember to check, and they track it on in there, everybody suffers. You understand? So we just want to make it, out of love for you, we want to make it easier for you to live in a house that doesn't smell like a barn. And so we tell you to do something that's very simple and widely practiced around the world, and that is leave your shoes at the door. Okay? Not because it's sinful or ungodly to have shoes on in the house. It's just easier to keep things clean if you don't. Is that clear? But we tell you, that's not God's rule. God doesn't command all people everywhere to remove their shoes when they go in the house. And if you ever go to a house and you don't have to take your shoes off and those other people aren't taking their shoes off, you can know right there that that is not a group of Christians. No, don't be crazy. And likewise, if you go somewhere and you see people and they are wearing unlined swimsuits or they're wearing two-piece swimsuits. Now, if you see a guy in a two-piece suit, that's not godly, okay? But if you see ladies in two-piece swimsuits, don't be scandalized. Oh, my goodness. She has a belly button, okay? I can tell you right now, we all have belly buttons. The missionaries used to come back to our church in Illinois with movies of the people they were ministering to, and the kids were not allowed to watch the movies. But I peeked, because I'm figuring out, why? Why can the kids not watch the movies? We get to hear the missionaries speak. They show us examples of crafts from the field. They give us great reports about the things God is doing, but it turns out the missionaries are working with people, some of whom do not wear a lot of clothing. And when they make movies of their work in the field and the people that they're ministering to, some of those people are not very well dressed by our standards. And as a result, it is inappropriate for children. Okay, that was the rule. My sister, God rest her soul, went to be with the Lord a year ago this month. My sister was a wonderful Christian, precious person, fabulous solo voice, teenage acne. So she wanted to wear makeup. My parents, knowing that that is not a God rule, but only a cultural thing in that place, in that era, said, okay, just don't wear too much. My dad and my mom were horribly criticized because my sister wore makeup. Okay, that just stinks. And that's the kind of dynamic that was going on here. And Jesus says, if that's where your focus is, if that's your standard of godliness, you have completely missed what it means to follow God. Is that clear? If it's all about a bunch of man-made rules, man-made standards, things that are your interpretation, your tradition, but it's not what God says, and you're using that to judge others, you have completely disobeyed God. So, Jesus told these guys, your worship is in vain, according to Isaiah, because your teachings are but rules taught by men. That's what Jesus said to them. He didn't stop there. He called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth doesn't make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. And the disciples thought maybe Jesus didn't realize that that offended the religious leaders. They said, Jesus, do you understand that this was upsetting to them? Let me just ask you a question. Do you think Jesus knew that he was upsetting these guys? Of course he did. Do you think he was bothered by the fact that these religious, uptight folk were offended by what he said? Not at all. It was designed to get to them. And it worked. So his response was this: every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, they'll both fall in the ditch. That's pretty strong. He's called them hypocrites. He said their religion is in vain because they are bent on following man-made rules and they ignore God's command. Their heart is not toward God. He says they're blind guides. These were the leaders, and Jesus says, don't follow them. Leave them. Wow. So, Peter says, would you explain the parable to us? And Jesus said, sure, I was hoping you'd ask. Is that what Jesus said? No. Jesus said, are you still so dull? Now, Jesus wasn't talking to children here. Jesus was talking to a bunch of adults who had been with him, listening to him, and they still were having a problem because they didn't take him at his word. Jesus had already said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. Got it? That's not the problem we have, is we ate the wrong thing. What comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. And it's not that makes him unclean because it came out of his mouth. It's because when these kinds of things that Jesus is going to list come out of your mouth, it reveals the fact that you are unclean. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so Jesus gives them a list. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. It's not just what we do that matters, it's what we're entertaining in our head. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. Eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Let's just briefly look at this list Jesus gives us of the kind of thing that show us that we need a Savior. Jesus talks about evil thoughts. Once again, it's not a sin to be tempted, but when in your mind you're fantasizing about that, meditating on that, and thinking, oh yeah, I wish I could do that, that's sin. That's sin. Evil thoughts. Murder. Jesus had already told them in the Sermon on the Mount, if you hate somebody, you're a murderer at heart. Adultery. Jesus had already told them, if you look at a person to lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You see, the heart is the battlefield. That is what shows us, oh, I'm in trouble. Woe is me. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. That was Isaiah's prayer. He's saying, the stuff that comes out of my mouth shows I've got a problem. I developed a very bad habit in elementary school of using bad language in certain situations. But I didn't say it around my parents. But more and more, it was what was in my heart. I was confronted about it by my dear friend Sam Thielman when I was in Montreat in my early teens. He said, Jim, I know you love the Lord, but would you please read this passage from Colossians and this passage from Ephesians? And I read them, and the Holy Spirit convicted me that there's not supposed to be any kind of obscene speech, any kind of coarse joking, not supposed to go there. And I was absolutely convicted. I thanked him. I asked God to forgive me. And I began working on cleaning up my mouth, which meant working on cleaning up my heart. And so in order to quit having a heart and a mind and a mouth full of that stuff, I had to be more careful what I put in through my eyes and my ears. Not listening to stuff I shouldn't listen to. Not reading stuff I shouldn't read. If you want your heart to be filled with the praises of God, start now. Don't wait. Start praising God. Start meditating on His goodness. Jesus goes on and he talks about a few other matters. He talks not only about adultery, he talks about sexual immorality. Well, aren't those the same thing? No. Well, you're saying adultery isn't sexually immoral? Yes, adultery is sexually immoral, but it is one type of sexual immorality. Jesus says adultery is bad, but so is any other sexual immorality. Please don't miss that. That's why we want you to learn and be able to say, join me please. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. We want you to understand that because a lot of people will think, well, I know adultery is not okay, but that's like when you're having sexual relations with another person's spouse. Yeah, that's what it is. Well, what if the two of you are not married? Well, that's sexual immorality. Oh. Well, what if you really love each other? Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is the umbrella term. Oh. Okay, what else does he say? Theft. Taking stuff that's not yours. False testimony. That means lying. Testifying to something as true that is not true. Don't say, oh, no, no, it's not what it looks like. How many times have I heard that? You know, it's not what you think. Well, why would I think that? Well, because it probably looked like I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. So what were you doing? Are you about to give false testimony? And one more thing. Slander. We don't really have to talk about that one, do we? Slander is when you are spreading a bad report about other people, and especially if you do it without regard for the truth. It is slanderous to say something about someone because you think it might be true. To say something about someone because you heard that about that person. Don't slander people. Jesus says God hates that stuff. Okay, well, Pastor Wood, as you're describing all this, I'm becoming increasingly concerned that apparently I am unclean. Well, that's good if you've realized that, because that is precisely why Jesus came, to save sinners. So does that mean I can keep on doing it? No, it means you need to run to the cross and ask Him to save you. And He will not only forgive you, but He will begin a work in you to change you from the inside. I was a Christian 14-year-old with a foul mouth on occasion. I was genuinely saved, and I needed to change. I am now a 67-year-old who does not use bad language. But here's the thing. I still need to change. I still need to grow. I still need to become more like Jesus. But thank God, He's not finished with me yet.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.